Chapter 5. Awakening. Darkness and warmth surrounded me as a man's hands caressed me from behind. I smiled expectantly, thrilling at his touch. I could feel his hot lips on my neck while he pulled me closer against him. He'd grown hungry for me in his sleep. I turned to kiss him, showing I wanted him as well. He was faceless in the night, but his passion burnt radiantly before me. With his low, breathy voice in my ear, he whispered, "You're mine, only mine." Melting from his words, I vowed, "Only yours." His demanding mouth drifted down my neck to my breast, leaving a fire trail on my skin. When I reached out blindly, desperate for more of him, he was gone. A storm raged outside, causing howls of wind past my window. I tossed fitfully and then woke completely. The dream had felt so real that it caused me to physically ache when I realized I was alone. The longing within me was almost unbearable. How can your subconscious create a need you've never known before? Never felt. I wasn't sure if it had been Finn in my dream, but it felt as if something powerful had been awakened within me. I strained to hear if there was any sound of him below. After a few seconds of foolish fantasy involving me, my couch, and my hard-bodied stranger, I cast the ridiculous notion aside. As I felt the pull of sleep return, I thought of him, my possible past, and everything that the approaching daylight would bring. Hours later, I opened my eyes, afraid if I woke too quickly, I might scare away the day before. I didn't want the excitement to end and then realize that all I had to look forward to was the help wanted ads. The house was quiet. Brutus slumbered by my leg. I saw my damp clothes strewn across the floor. It did happen. Finn was real. I jumped out of bed like a kid at Christmas, anxious to get presentable and talk to him some more. I leapt into the bathroom. Despite the mess of hair and mascara smudges, my cheeks glowed against my pale skin and my hazel eyes sparkled green with excitement. Being a thief was difficult to imagine, but the promise of finally knowing the whole story was an intrigue I couldn't resist. I moved rapidly through my morning routine, adding some extra time to blow out my hair. I needed to make it as straight as possible to keep it in check from my London arrival. I put on more makeup than I would if it was just me and Brutus. It wasn't every day you had a god in your living room. To make it look like I didn't care quite as much, I threw on some old jeans and a gray long-sleeve t-shirt I could change before the flight. Brutus and I padded down the stairs expectantly. We were stunned to find that we were very much alone. It was just after 8 a.m. The blanket and pillow were neatly stacked on the kitchen counter. There was no sign of him. I felt immediately betrayed, sure that I'd been conned. Maybe I was so different now that he gave up on the whole thing and left. The tears came instantly, along with an increasing inability to catch my breath. I walked to the couch to steady myself. On top of the bag of stones was a note. I woke early and went for a run. I made coffee. Save me some. I have your keys, so don't beat me with a poker when I come through the door. F. I exhaled a deep sigh of relief and admonished myself for being so emotional. Drinking some coffee made me feel more in control until I heard the key in the door. Anticipation thudded in my chest. That was definitely something else I was going to need to control. It was a very bad idea to get so excited over a man I barely knew, no matter how good-looking or important he might be. The dream certainly hadn't helped toward my goal of remaining ambivalent to him. I struck a nonchalant pose leaning over the kitchen island with my coffee mug. I moved the blanket so he could see me when he came through the door. He stepped inside and smiled, taking out his earplugs. He wore all black, a zip-up jacket, t-shirt, sweats, and sneakers. Maybe him encasing a joint. He had clearly run hard, judging from his sweat and labored breathing. "Good morning. Thanks for the coffee," I said, holding up my mug. "Good morning. You got my note." "Yes, I worried you'd changed your mind and gone home," I said casually, trying to gloss over my panic attack. You're not rid of me that easily, he laughed, dangling something from his hand. Here are your keys. It's been a long time since I've seen anyone with a whistle keychain. He placed them by the door with a perplexed smile. Yes, well, I was given that to keep me safe in the big city of Newport. He put his gear down on the floor and walked over to me in the kitchen, causing me to stand up a little straighter next to him. His eyes searched mine as he continued to smile. We shared a charged moment, and then he slowly turned from me, pouring his coffee. It seems it proved ineffective last night. I saw him grin wide in profile as he brought the mug to his lips. I cleared my throat and looked for something interesting to say. Why a starfish tattoo? I'd noticed his upper arm again after he took off his jacket. He laughed and clarified, it's not exactly a starfish. It's called an estoile, a six-pointed star. He put his mug down but kept his eyes on the backsplash. What does it mean? A noble person, and it's dark blue to represent loyalty. I hear it's healthy to respect yourself, I responded teasingly. His smile widened as he turned to face me. Are you saying you're a poor judge of character? Perhaps, but no, I was just saying if you don't love you, who will? I laughed at his amused expression. Good point, but the star was your choice. I was leaning more toward the Celtic cross. His eyes drifted over me, causing a rush of blood to my cheeks. But when a beautiful woman tells you you're noble, it's best to agree with her. Oh, well, it's very becoming. I laughed nervously as I refilled my mug. Who knew if it were true, but it was very intimate thinking of us together, picking out something he'd have on his body for life. I tore my gaze away from his muscular arm and inhaled the aroma of the hot coffee to clear my head. So if the flight is at 4 p.m., what time do we need to leave here? I knew that for international flights, you needed to be there a couple hours in advance, and I wasn't sure which airport we were going to, Boston or Providence. Probably 3:30, just so we don't have to rush. He turned from me, peeling an orange. The closest major airport is 40 miles away. That doesn't give us any time. I looked at him in disbelief, questioning his travel sense. The airport, where our jet is housed, is 2 miles away. I'm going to take a shower, if that's okay. He put his hand across his chest, awaiting my approval. Yes, of course. Do you need anything? No, I see frilly towels and all sorts of fanciful soaps, he answered in a softly mocking fashion. I heard him opening and closing drawers and then the shower start. I poured another cup of coffee and distracted myself with packing. I made a list of what made sense to take along for an extended trip and went upstairs to gather what needed washing. Finn was already dressed, sitting by Brutus and watching the news when I returned. He was wearing what he'd worn yesterday, a navy crew neck shirt and jeans. Funny how he looked completely different to me than when I thought he was an insane murderer. I smiled politely at him as I walked down the hall to do my wash. On my way back to the living room, I stepped into the kitchen to pick up the phone. With a sigh, I walked over to him and sat down in the chair, dreading what I had to do next. So I need to make some calls. Where do you suggest I stay while I'm in London? You have a suite at the Barrington Hotel in Mayfair under your name. Anyone can reach you there. He looked over to me to make sure I heard him as he scratched the top of Brutus's head. Oh, thanks, I said, taken aback by how quickly the arrangements had been made for me. I dialed my mother first, getting my story straight in my head.